the pandemic, our relationship was already in trouble.
It's like we argue about everything.
I mean, he comes home and he sits in the driveway, in the car, instead of coming into the house with me and his son.
See, she doesn't trust me. And she talks about me to her girlfriends. Like she speaks so loudly like she wants me to hear. What am I supposed to do with that?
Why do you have to get out of the bed at 11:20 at night to return a text?
You see, she doesn't even know how to talk to me.
And he refuses to talk to me.
Like the first couple weeks of quarantine, together in the house all day and all night, just confirmed it's me.
I can't do this anymore.
You know what? I'm done.
I think I'm done.
Maybe we need to get some help.
I think we need to talk to somebody.
Marriages are under attack, and if you or someone you know needs help, then join Pastors Lewis and Stephanie Tucker for My Church Marriage Seer Training. Pastors Lewis and Stephanie Tucker have designed a course to help your marriage to not just survive, but to thrive. Get the tools necessary for a successful biblical marriage. You can enjoy this course live on Roku, Fire Stick, and Apple TV. Why not make an investment into your marriage that will impact generations? My Church Lynchburg Marriage Seer Training.
Good evening.
Good evening.
I'm Pastor Tuck, and this is my beautiful wife, Pastor Steph, and welcome to My Church Marriage Seer Training. Now, I know some of you may be wondering, what is marriage seer training? Well, in the military, soldiers who are part of special forces are required to go through SEER training, which stands for Survival, Evasion, Resistance, and Escape, so that in the case of capture, they can endure the extreme conditions that they may encounter at the hands of the enemy. Well, Pastor Stephanie and I are going to teach you how to go from just surviving marriage to enjoying marriage by retraining you so that you can endure the trials of life. And if you will commit to joining us every third Thursday, we're going to give you the tools necessary to have and maintain a successful biblical marriage. But before we begin, let's pray. Pastor Stephanie, pray us in.
Precious God, we thank you for this day. We thank you, Lord God, for all things that have taken place. Lord, we just give you praise that we have the opportunity to share your word through our heart to the heart of the believer. Lord God, let there be more understanding, increased wisdom and knowledge on how to improve marriages, or Lord, how to be prepared for marriage. And God, I thank you for this moment, and we give it all back unto you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen. Praise God. This evening, we want to talk about something that Pastor Stephanie and I have seen way too often. Couples who pretend to be happy in public, but are miserable in private. You know, they put on a show for everyone else, but they wage war with one another at home. You know, in this age of social media, you know, Instagram, you know, everything is about a facade, everything about public appearance. You know, we've gotten to this age of performance where everybody wants to look good. And there's this thing of where we've chosen flash over substance. But it's important that we actually take the time, if we're going to actually have the type of marriage that God wants, we've got to take time to actually fix what's really broken. So tonight, we're not talking to perfect couples. We're talking to real couples. Mm-hmm. Couples who know how to smile in public, but struggle to connect in private. Mm-hmm. Couples who post anniversary tributes, but haven't had meaningful conversation in weeks. Mm-hmm. Couples who look whole, but feel divided. And the truth is, you have a strong image, but a weak covenant at the same time.
And if we be honest, sometimes we've invested more into how our marriage looks than how it actually lives. We mastered presentation, but neglected intimacy.
That's hard.
Mm-hmm. We protected perception but ignored connection. But tonight, God is calling us back, not to a better image, but to a stronger covenant.
Yeah. And this is important because if you want to make a choice, we have to, like I said before, choose substance over flesh. Instead of choosing image, we've got to choose covenant. The Bible tells us in 1 Samuel chapter 16, it says, man looks at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart. Yep. See, we want the flash. We want the shiny thing. But God chooses substance. You know, I've always thought about, you know, how I use this illustration. I remember years ago trying to teach my kids something. I said, you know, it's funny how when you're, especially when you're young, you know, if you walk up to a car lot and there's a shiny red, you know, sports car, and then there's a beat up looking station wagon, and they ask you which one you want, you're going to pick the shiny sports car. But you don't even know what's under the hood. You never stop to ask how many miles is on it. You never ask, you know, what kind of engine's in it or what condition it's in.
Does it burn oil?
Exactly. You're just looking. And the sports car, it may actually look good on the outside, but the engine's blown out. You know, it could have been, you know, just absolute nothing. And the station wagon could have had a brand new engine in it.
Yeah.
And that's the problem. We look with our eyes because we're looking at the outward appearance. And the whole purpose of the car is to get you where you need to go. It's not to look at. And so that's the thing, because God uses wisdom. God says, I'm trying to do something for you, but you're more concerned about what people think. Image. And so that's why we've got to get this thing together. Here's the problem. Social media rewards appearance. You know, in this age of social media, it's all about likes. It's all about clicks. It's all about, you know,
the shares,
shares and everybody liking, you know. And one of my pet peeves, you know, it's one of the reasons why I was telling somebody this the other day. I believe me and Brother Cora were talking about this in the man cave on the last episode we were talking. And I told him, I said, one of the last social medias that I gave my children access to was Instagram. I would not allow them to have, they didn't get Instagram until their senior year of college. And I know people are like, do what? And I said, yeah. And the reason is because it is so, if you notice, the Bible talks about the lust of the eyes, lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. And it's these things that it's that lust of the eyes that leads us into sin a lot of times. It's that thing that our eyes draw us in. The enemy uses that to entice us. And Instagram is so visual. And if you look at it, it's a cesspool of that because people, it leads you into covetousness. It leads you into greed. It leads you into jealousy. It gives you these sexual desires. It puts you into this place because that's the stuff that people post. Thirst traps, what I call it. People always posting stuff to make you desire something that you, unnatural desires or unhealthy desires, things that you shouldn't even be wanting after. And it puts you in this place. And so it puts you in a place where people are always putting images out there. And a lot of times these images are not even true. Notice people are always putting filters on stuff because they want things to look better than what they are. Because it literally rewards appearance, how things appear.
Oh, yeah.
Not reality, but appearance.
Yeah. Yeah.
But God honors alignment.
Yeah.
God honors it when we align with his word, when we get ourselves in proper place.
Mm-hmm.
See, because you can fool people with pictures.
every day.
With AI, you can make yourself look like anything. I've actually been studying this. I actually know how to do this now. You can actually go in, and there's programs in AI where you can actually take probably 20, 30 pictures of yourself in different situations and train the AI to the point where it will make a very accurate recreation of you in any situation that you want to be in. Because if you've noticed, you've probably seen Snoop out here. Snoop makes these reels and it look like Snoop's out here wrestling the alligator. It look like Snoop out here diving off a cliff. And that's how he does it. Because you'll take about 30 or 40 pictures of yourself and it trains the AI model to get your image till it's got your image down to the point now where it can take your image and put it in to this AI model, and it will recreate you in any situation you want. You can look like you're flying. You can look like you're wrestling alligators, like you out here in a lion. And then people are like, wow, how in the world did you do that? And it's all AI.
Yeah.
Because we're in this age now. So you can fool people with pictures, but you can't fool God with distance. I don't care how far you get away from him. God said, I know where you're at. I got you. You can't hide from me. See, a covenant is not sustained with likes.
Excuse me.
It's sustained by sacrifice, by submission, and consistency. See, one key principle of marriage is a marriage is built for display will collapse under pressure. Oh, I'm going to say that again. You might want to write that down. If your marriage is built for display, it will collapse under pressure. But a marriage built on covenant will endure testing.
Mm. Wow. You know, I just had a image when you said about how a display will collapse under pressure. You know, I think about one time I was in Target with the girls. Mm-hmm. And, you know, of course they have clothes and stuff on display. And at that time, I was learning how to navigate through stores with my chair, and I ended up hitting that display, and it crumbled. And that same outfit, though, was on the actual clothes rack in the store, and I couldn't move it because it was stationary, you know. And it showed how a display literally crumbles under pressure.
Yeah, because it's only for looks. It's there for looks.
And that's exactly what the outfit was like. And on a mannequin, you know. But anyway, that came to me. So, I have a question. You know, why do you think couples drift into protecting image instead of nurturing covenant?
Like I said, I really think it's because we allow our pride to get in the way. We get into this habit of being dependent on other people's opinion. Mm-hmm. We grow up in environments where people pleasing has become a habit of ours, mm-hmm. where we become addicted to other people's approval. And so we want other people to be like us. We want people to approve of us. We want other people's, we want to be popular.
Yeah.
And like I said, and all of that stuff is exponentially worse now in the social media age. You know, we grew up in generations where we didn't have social media, but it still was, peer pressure was a big thing.
Yeah.
And so, you know, you wanted the latest styles, you wanted the latest clothes because mm-hmm. that's what everybody else had. Mm-hmm. And I always tell people, I was always different. I always went against the crowd. I didn't want to do what everybody else did because I was one of those people. I never cared what other people thought.
And that way today, y'all.
And I really mm-hmm. think it may have started because when I was young and I was small, around third or fourth grade, I started gaining weight, probably, I think, around fourth grade, I think I started gaining weight. And when I started getting teased, I remember coming home and I said something to my mama about it. And my mama was like, well, people talked about Jesus, they talk about you. She said, are you better than him? And it was literally, that settled it for me. I mean, like in a conversation. Mm-hmm. And for me, it was like, so after that, when people teased me, it didn't even bother me. And if it got bad, it was like, I was bigger than you. So it was like, okay, we can deal with this if we need to. Oh, yeah. And so that's how I developed a thick skin to what people said, to the point that I didn't care. And then I developed confidence. So where people used to tease me, they actually started envying me because I didn't care what other people thought. And so instead of people picking on me, people started following me. And I developed that at an early age to the point that instead of becoming somebody who was bullied, I became somebody who people envy. People, because I stopped following the crowd, and even more popular people would see me, and I probably wasn't what people would consider to be the stereotypical person everybody would follow, because I didn't fit that particular frame, but everybody noticed that I was the one that everybody followed. Yeah. I remember it's funny because even I remember like we were like sixth grade and I had a friend of mine. He had actually failed sixth grade. So he was repeating sixth grade and he was one of the most popular kids, you know, cause he was one of the older guys.
Yeah.
And he became one of my best friends in sixth grade because it was like I was one of the leaders in that particular grade. And like saying, this is one of those times, like I said, where probably if I didn't have that confidence, I probably would have been somebody who was picked on.
Yeah.
And so I'm thinking about all of that now. It's like, but it's that mindset of not caring what other people thought that I've always had that put me in that space where this stuff never became an issue for me.
Yeah.
But most people still have that thing of, I want people to care what I got. And so that's how people end up in places where they're living beyond their means, mm-hmm. buying houses or cars that they shouldn't have because they want everybody, such and such got a new car, we got to get one. Yeah. We got, and it puts pressure on their marriages, their relationships. Yeah. You know, they're out here trying to work jobs and I got to get this promotion because, you know, I need everybody to think that I'm a big shot or this, that, there. And that's putting pressure on their relationships. Yeah, you know, and we got to go take this trip, you know, so we can tell everybody we went to Paris or we went to, you know, this place or that place. You don't even like these places. These places are musty. And I mean, it's like, you know, it's like, why do you want to go there? You don't even like this kind of place. But it's like, but you can tell everybody, oh, we went here or we went there. You know what I'm saying? Because we're trying to make people, we're worried about image.
Yeah.
Instead of building our relationships. And that's the problem. You know, and we don't think about that kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. And so I think that's why we literally need to take a step back and actually start to audit our marriage, audit our relationships. We need to actually start doing an inventory. You know, we got to think, what do people think about your marriage? You know, and when you ask that question, it's not just to ask because you're worried about your image, but then ask yourself, why do I care? So when you're asking that question, what do people think about your marriage? Not the fact of how do we look to everybody, but do people actually think we have a strong marriage? Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Because not just, ooh, do people think we, you know, we do we look good in public? No. What do they think about your marriage?
Yeah.
Not your image, your marriage.
Yeah.
And then ask, what does it actually feel like at home? Do those two align? Do those two actually line up? And then identify, are we managing perception or building connection?
That's good.
Are we just trying to look good for the cameras, for the post, for everybody else, or are we actually making sure that we're happy at home? Mm-hmm. See, because if you make this your priority, watch this. Ooh, this is going to bless somebody. If you're making sure that we're happy, everybody else will see that. Instead of trying to make sure you look happy.
Right. It's a big difference.
See, when you're trying to make sure you look happy, you're miserable. See, because you're putting pressure on her. You got to make sure your hair's nice. You got to make sure. And so she's feeling like he doesn't like how I look.
Right.
He's always trying to get me to do stuff I don't feel like doing. He's going to an event for his job, and we need to go to this. We need to go to that. I don't even like these things. But he's trying to go to show off for somebody. You follow me? Mm-hmm. And so she's not enjoying that. Yeah. So she's unhappy. But you're trying to show off to try to look like, oh, we're the power couple. And she's like, oh, well, you know, such and such got a job. Why don't you get a promotion? So now he's working all these hours and doing all this stuff, and he's not happy. Because you're putting all this pressure on him. Because you want to look a certain way instead of trying to make each other happy.
Yeah.
And then everybody's like, ooh, they're the happiest couple. Ooh, I wish I was like them. Do you see that? Mm-hmm. Because if you focus on your covenant, focus on your connection, then the perception is they have something that's enviable.
Yeah, yeah. And, you know, even with the performance and you know, sitting there thinking about how, you know, the power couple statement, you know, people definitely use that a lot to identify themselves and then not be true to what it says. You know, it causes a facade. So... So, you know, again, we managing perception or building a connection. Yeah. You know, when you think about, or I think about some couples I know, and, you know, the fluff is, oh, you know, I got this big time job. I'm doing great. You know, I'm bought my wife 5-carat earrings and got her a new Benz and all those type of things. So when they go out or they're around their colleagues, people go, they are just awesome. They're doing so well. But then as soon as the garage door opens at their house, they pull into the garage. No conversation happens. He does his thing. She does her thing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and where does that image come? Where, you know, if things aren't really correct at home, trust me, people may think that they are presenting a certain way. But if anybody really knows them, knows that it's a facade. And then you have, you know, couples that, again, strive, that striving. And striving causes strife in the home. They strive because they want to appear as if they got it all together, you know, that they're the primary breadwinner, that, you know, they got this job and immediately got a 6-figure salary. So you have the husband who, you know, who's there and he's working, he's doing what he can. But, you know, when they go out, what you see is, quote unquote, the power couple. What you see them as, you know, basically skipping and dancing, holding hand in hand, or, you know, going on major trips and, you know, look what I got, that type of thing. And when they get home, once again, that garage door goes up and they have more conversation with their dog than they have with each other.
Yeah. And so that's why it's important to understand what it really means to be one flesh.
Mm-hmm.
You know, The Bible talks about what God has joined together, let no man separate. You know, he tells us, he said that, you know, he said a man will leave his mother and father and the two will become one flesh.
Yep.
You know, in our book, the two will become one flesh. We teach a principle that says oneness is not proximity. It is spiritual, emotional, and intentional unity. See, you can live in the same house, sleep in the same bed, and still not be one.
Lord knows.
So you've got to put in effort. It requires effort for you all to be on the same page, for you all to build your relationship.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, isn't it when you're talking about oneness, how, you know, you sleep in the same bed and still not one? Well, you know, Pastor Tuck and I, we have different ways of sleeping. You know, he's got more cold natured. I'm getting more hot natured because I'm having these seasons. So, you know, we're living basically different ways in our bed, but we're always one. Always. Never letting anything come between us. And oneness requires emotional transparency. You got to be transparent. You have to have spiritual agreement. Because when you're was it what's two and three agree, right?
And that's the thing. He says, where two or three are gathered in my name, he said, I'm in the midst of that.
Yeah.
And so that's how you know. And he says, you know, that threefold cord is not going to be broken. And so you got to remember, if it's you and your spouse and Christ, then there's no way that anybody can break that. Mm-hmm. And so that's why it's so important, because that's what a covenant is. That's what your marriage covenant is supposed to consist of.
Yeah.
And so you got to make sure that you're on that same page, because that's where the strength comes from in your marriage. When you're on the same page, Christ joins in that.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Excuse me. So, you know, consistent communication, you got to have it. Not just mindless communication, but something to stimulate each other's intellect. That's one thing I love about Pastor Tuck. We can talk about snacks. And then we can talk about the paradigm of this world and that. You know, we can go into deeper conversations and we become one just for those conversations. So it's not just a shared space, but shared souls to be able to have this covenant. So one key principle is you don't drift into oneness. You build it on purpose. Man. Mm. So for a practical teaching or a practical application, schedule weekly covenant conversations, not logistics.
Mm.
Ask, how are we doing? Not bills and not kids. That's crucial.
Yeah, yeah.
Because I could care less about a bill or a kid if we're not even a couple.
Yeah.
We're not connected.
And that's the thing. So many people, that's what their relationships have become. They've become mm-hmm. so transactional.
Yeah.
Like I said, but to everybody else, they appear to be, they're so wonderful. Everything is so good. Because like you said, oh, their birthday, their anniversaries, the post looks, all these vacation pictures and this, that, there, and the other. Everything is so wonderful.
Yeah.
But like you said, the fact of the matter is their day-to-day life is like they're walking past each other.
Yeah.
Only time they communicate is transactional.
Right. Wow. Mm. So it's so important, as always, prayer. Prayer is the key to communicating to the Lord about what's going on in your marriage by praying together. And at times it may feel awkward or uncomfortable for those who aren't accustomed to doing that, but it helps strengthen the connection.
Yeah. And this is important, because you got to understand the danger of disconnection. You know, the Bible says, how can two walk together unless they are agreed? So you got to get on the same page.
That's it. Thank you. That's the scripture I was looking for.
Yeah. You know, you got to make every effort to keep the unity of the spirit. That's what Paul tells us. You got to make every effort to keep the unity of the spirit. You got to make sure that you all stay on the same page because your marriage depends on it. See, disconnection didn't happen overnight.
Nope.
It happens through neglect, through unresolved conflict, through unspoken hurts, through unmet needs, through unchecked distractions. And eventually, you become roommates with history instead of partners in purpose. See, this, like I said, it didn't happen overnight because once upon a time, you all were close. You all were everything to one another. And now you look at each other and you're like, how we get here? But that's what happened. There was some conflict that you didn't resolve. There was some hurt that somebody didn't say. There was a need somebody didn't meet. There was a distraction and y'all didn't deal with it. You just kept being distracted. Yeah. And eventually y'all just walking past each other.
Like two ships.
And y'all just live in the same house and y'all used to have some history together.
Mm-hmm.
But now that's the case. But you've got to address it because otherwise it'll stay that way.
What are some subtle signs that a couple is disconnected? Even if everything looks fine on the outside.
The fact that you have to switch how you behave
mm-hmm.
for other people.
Yeah.
That you have to put on for an image.
Yeah.
If you've got to prepare a post for social media for your spouse's anniversary, birthday, or whatever, and that's not how you normally talk to them, and that's not how you normally, if that's not what you would normally say to them,
yeah,
that's a problem.
Yep. Big time.
See, if you look at the things that I say to my wife on her birthday or anniversary or any other time, that's the same stuff I say to her at home.
At home.
That ain't nothing I'm saying for y'all.
Right. That's right.
See, the fact that when we out in public and people say, oh, that's your wife is so, and I tell them that's my baby. I'm not saying that for them. She know that. That ain't no surprise. When I tell them I wouldn't trade nothing for her, that ain't no surprise. They hear me on the man cave say it all the time. I said, I will kick Halle Berry in her face if she come here trying to be my wife. You done lost your mind. Pastor Stephanie live here. That's no front.
Right.
See, that's how you know. That's a subtle sign. If you got to try to put on that, that's a problem. Because if that's not how you normally are, then you know that this is an issue. That y'all not really connected. If you gotta try to, when people come over, y'all gotta try to act like, oh yeah, yeah, hey, how y'all doing? Yeah, yeah, oh yeah. And then y'all, then soon as they leave, you go to your room, he go to his.
Mm-hmm.
Come on, for real? What we doing? Mm.
Yeah.
If somebody popped up at the door, I ain't gotta go find her. We sitting in here together.
Right.
That's where we been. Literally, that's how you are at some people's house. If you come over there, oh, let me go see where he at.
Exactly. And, you know, when those things happen, a lot of times, you know, other people may see that, oh, wow, you know, they're disconnected.
Yep.
And sometimes when things are hidden, you know this, when you hide, for example, hide Easter eggs, they're hidden. You have to search, you have to find it. And you may not necessarily find it. So you have a disconnect with you and the egg.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so there are signs of hidden distractions in a marriage or disconnection, excuse me. Conversations become transactional. No emotional vulnerability. You know, your wife's sitting there crying about something and then you go, whatever, right?
Mm-hmm.
Physical intimacy declines. I mean, why would you want to have intimacy with someone physically if they're disconnected? And that can go on for years.
Yeah. And that's crazy. That's crazy. Yeah. That's something that always befuddles me when I hear couples say stuff like, "Oh yeah, we ain't been intimate in months or weeks or years," and it's like, who do what? And I'm not telling you that that's all that marriage that sex is for, that marriage is for sex, but that was a gift that God gave to marriage for intimacy. But you have to understand that's the purpose. It's not sex. It's supposed to be intimate.
That's right.
And the fact of the matter is, if you are not intimate, that's the reason for that.
Yeah.
Intimacy means closeness.
I was just going to say that. Yeah.
And so if we're not close, there's a reason why we're not having sex.
Right.
Because we have not been close. We have not been vulnerable. We have not been connected.
And, you know, I find when couples are trying to have a child, you know, that physical, not intimacy, but that act happens when a woman's ovulating.
Mm-hmm.
There's no time to have any kind of vulnerability.
Yeah.
No time to have the actual intimacy, the closeness, because they're focused on that goal to have a baby.
And that's the problem, because you're trying.
Instead of trusting. Yeah.
That's one thing about it. I don't think we ever tried.
No, we planned.
Yeah, we planned.
But we never tried. Just
we planned from a step perspective of
when
there was a season where we did birth control because we said we were not having a child, and when we said we wanted to try to have a child,
we stopped
taking birth control. But we were not. Oh, are you obligated? Because. Right. That's pressure.
Yeah.
That trying, and like you said, and that takes the intimacy out of it.
I'm sorry, I'm giggling. I'm thinking about one of my professors I had for family therapy.
Yeah.
And he said there was a couple that was coming to him, and they were having trouble getting pregnant. And he said it really caused a division. He said, you know what? I want you to pick a room in your house. Y'all cut on some music, and y'all go and mess each other's brains up, you know. do what you gotta do. And guess what, y'all? She relaxed and she got pregnant.
But that's the thing. It's like anytime anything that the Lord intended for us becomes work, then like you said, then you're never gonna see what God intended.
Ever. It can cause, disconnection can cause increased irritation and decreased grace. In other words, you'd be ready to pop off in a minute and go you instead of looking at me.
And anytime somebody makes a mistake, you won't give them grace. You're not willing to overlook anybody's faults.
Nope. Then there is a huge risk of having more connection with others than your spouse.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And that includes social media.
Oh yeah.
So you find yourself chatting and posting and texting with other people other than your spouse. So like I said, and that tells you, like I said, there's nobody you should be talking to more than your spouse.
That's right.
We were talking with a couple at church last night that's getting married this weekend, that we shared a copy of our book with. And I was telling them, I said, you know, there's nobody I spend more time with than my wife. I said, I spend all my time with my wife.
Yeah.
And I know a lot of people think I'm crazy. But I tell them, I said, no, you don't understand. I didn't get married to be by myself. I still think people have such a misunderstanding of what this means.
Yeah.
If you understand the concept of married means the combining of two things. If you marry two chemicals together or two materials together, that means they are now attached.
Yeah.
They're inseparable because they've been married together.
Yeah.
So this whole concept of I need some me time. What do you mean me? They're one now. That's what it means. They're one.
And, you know, you can respect each other's specific interests. You know, like, he likes to go to the gun range.
Yeah.
And even though he loves to spend time with me all the time, you know, there are moments where I see him and I'm like, you need to go and shoot a bit. Yeah. And, you know, it's not an issue.
I'm not saying you can't breathe.
But some, you know.
But I'm like, but this thing of people, I got to get out the house. I got to go. It's like, why did you marry somebody you don't like?
Right. And if you don't like them, sometimes you got to look at yourself first.
Yes. That's you look at and, the and that's the problem. The problem is you've not died to yourself.
Nope. Mm-mm.
You didn't die to yourself before you got married. Nope. That's where the issue really resides.
Yep.
Because it really comes down to a whole lot of selfishness.
Sure enough. So, another practical application is turn toward, not away, in moments of tension. You know, you got to address these issues early. Ephesians 4:26 says, do not let the sun go down on your wrath.
This has always been a major, major principle that I have lived by. Mm-hmm. See, I don't play like that. I have despised hearing and seeing couples that they walking around in the house for 2 weeks and not talking to each other. I'm like, y'all are crazy.
Smart, you know, mouth.
Y'all are absolutely loony. You heard what I said, you loony.
And you think about it, you know, we have a great marriage. We communicate well, but we have moments when we have intense moments of fellowship.
Exactly. And ain't nothing wrong with that.
When we first got married, shoot, we wouldn't get sleep because we were trying to get things solved.
You exactly right. And I'm like, ain't nobody going to sleep till let's get done. I'm not doing this. I'm not paying mortgage in no house where I'm sitting around here and I'm walking around here and I on eggshells and I'm walking around mad. I'm not doing that.
And I realized the issue with me. The issue with me was I wanted to be right all the time. Or the issue with me was I didn't feel good enough because I was trying to be a perfectionist. Those type of things. It wasn't much with him. Just whatever was going on triggered that in me. Does that make sense?
And this is the key to this particular point. Mm-hmm. You have to recognize that as long as you are in offense, you cannot hear from God. Mm-mm. And you don't know. One word from God can change not only your life, but the life of generations.
Yeah.
And I refuse to not be able to hear from heaven.
That's right.
So that's why I'm not going to sit. I tell people all the time, my wife can upset me, but she only gets 10 minutes.
Sometimes.
Literally, 10 minutes. People think that's an exaggeration. No.
No, that's true.
10 minutes is all it's going to last because we're going to sit down and we're going to work this out.
Yeah.
Because literally, think about what God could say in 10 minutes.
Sure enough.
There could be a hurricane on the way. There could be a tornado. There could be a nuclear bomb on the way.
Mm-hmm.
I need to be able to hear God.
Yeah.
The Bible says when he was about to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah, he said, can I keep this from my friend Abraham? God don't keep nothing from me.
No.
And I'm like, ain't no way in the world I'm going to go 10 minutes and not be able to hear God calling me and telling me your family in danger.
Yeah.
Do you hear me? So that's how serious I take this. People think that's a joke when I say that, but I'm deadly serious. And so if my wife only gets 10, my kids only get 5.
Yep. And that's where it gets twisted, doesn't it? People give more time to managing and developing and communicating and connecting with their children and totally forget about the spouse. That's why you see an increased rate in divorce when people are going through the empty nest phase.
And so if my kids only get 5, what you think you get? Yeah.
1 minute.
So that's
if that. Yeah.
So that's how you got to recognize you cannot afford to be walking around in offense. You can't afford to be walking around angry, messed up. because it literally frustrates and cuts off your ability to hear from God.
It sure does.
And so that's why this is such an important issue when he says, do not let the sun go down on your wrath. Don't allow that thing to shut off your ability to hear from heaven. Mm-hmm. You got to deal with those issues.
And, you know, replace assumption with communication. Because a lot of times when we assume things, many times it's emotionally driven. And that can even cause definitely strife in a marriage. You can't assume anything.
You know what they say when you assume. When you assume, you make that thing Jesus rode out of you and me. Come on now.
Woo. Yep. And, you know, I think about emotional reasoning. There's a cartoon I used to talk about when I counseled people. The husband was on one side. The wife was on the other side. And they were groggy getting up. And the wife said, good morning, honey. He's like, morning. And she's like, oh, my gosh. He was upset with me because we didn't have sex last night. Oh, my gosh, he's upset. When really, the husband was like, I got to mow the grass today, and it's 90 degrees. See, it had nothing to do with each other. It wasn't even what they thought. So it caused that emotional issue to come in, which caused the connection. So replace assumption with communication.
Now, the important thing is you've got to stop choosing worrying about your image, but then you've got to restore the covenant.
Yep.
You've got to start building that covenant. The Revelation says you have left your first love. Return to the things you did at first. See, God's prescription for broken connection is simple. Return, repair, and rebuild. From counseling principles, we always, and even in our book, we offer reconnection requires intentionality.
Sure does.
Healing requires humility.
Mm-hmm.
Growth requires accountability.
Yes. And sometimes you don't need a new spouse. You need a renewed commitment.
Say that.
Yeah. You don't need a new spouse, right?
No. Yeah, all you got to do is renew your commitment to the same one you had.
That's right. So the covenant can be restored, y'all, but only if both people are willing to be honest and do the work.
Yeah. 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 We've seen couples that thought that it should be over, and we've taught them to apply these same principles. And not only did they not call it quits, they made a new commitment, and now they've got their families even growing.
Growing, yep.
It requires work.
Yes, it does.
And so we're going to give you some work to do.
Yep.
We're going to give you a 7-day covenant reset. So you might want to write this down. If not, you want to go back. Make sure you go back, rewind the video, and go back and make sure you get all of this so you can write this down. But day one, have an honest conversation. Share one thing that you've been feeling but haven't said. Mm-hmm. Day two, apology and forgiveness. Each partner owns something without defensiveness. That's important.
Yeah.
See, because you can't sit there and own it and then make an excuse for it.
That's right. Day three, prayer together. Even if it's short and simple, pray. Day four, no phone night. All right? No phone. Even the little things in the ears, take them out. No phone. 1 hour of uninterrupted connection.
Yeah. Day five, affirmation exchange.
Mm-hmm.
Speak life intentionally. Day six, vision talk. Where are we going as a couple?
Mm-hmm. And day seven, recommitment moment. Pray and verbally recommit to the covenant.
Right? See, you got to stop building a marriage that people admire,
mm-hmm.
and start building one that God approves of.
Oh, yeah. Because at the end of the day, you do not live in your post. You live in your covenant.
Yeah.
It's a good spot.
Yeah, I'm telling you, we gotta choose mm-hmm. substance over flash.
Gotcha.
Because the rest of the stuff is not gonna matter. Mm-hmm. What everybody else thinks of your marriage is not gonna matter. It's only what God thinks.
Mm. You know, I said, when you said flash, I envisioned a flash flood. You know how it comes in quickly and they can tear up some stuff and then it's gone.
But people like flashy things. They yep. they like those shiny things.
Yeah.
But you got to choose those things that are stable.
Oh, yeah.
Those things that are going to last.
Yeah.
Well, we pray this bless you tonight. I'm telling you, it's going to bless your life if you put mm-hmm. these principles to work.
Most definitely.
But God bless you. I pray this word has blessed you. We pray that you guys have gotten something out of this, and we pray that you continue to grow in your marriage as you continue to put these principles to work that Pastor Stephanie and I give you. And if you've been blessed by the marriage series training or any of the teachings here on My Church Virtual Ministries, and you want to help us continue to do what God's called us to do, then you can help us by sowing a financial seed. You can use Cash App, $ My Church Channel, or go to our website, lovemychurch.org, and click sow a seed.
Yep.
But in any event, just know that your gifts are going to help us continue to promote the vision that God has given us, which is to help be a bridge, a tool that helps you walk and be a healthy believer. To become the disciple that God called you to be.
Oh, yeah.
We have all kinds of opportunities for worship. We've got three different ministries that we broadcast on Sunday mornings. We've got Reveal TV with Pastors Kendall and Kiera McDowell. We've got Victory Today with Apostles Tony and Cynthia Brazelton. And we've got The Enjoyable Life with Drs. Russell and Yavita Cash. And then we've got the...
NK.
Leadership Academy.
Okay.
We've got Medicine for the Mind. We've got Women of Worth. We've got Man Cave. We've got Marriage Seer Training. And we've got The Heart of the Pastor. We've got all kinds of faith-based content to make sure that you got the tools to make you a nice, healthy, well-rounded believer.
Oh, yeah.
But in whatever you do, make sure you consume the content, grow, put it into practice. Yep. Because you can't just be a hearer. You got to be a doer of God's word.
Mm-hmm.
But God bless you. We love you. Make sure you share this with somebody you know who needs it, because you know somebody whose marriage needs work.
Amen.
And needs to get in here.
Yep.
And to grow and to become better. But God bless you. We love you. Stay tuned for our announcements. I'm Pastor Tuck. This is Pastor Stephanie. We love you. See you again on next time. Peace.
Breaking news. We interrupt your regularly scheduled programming with a special alert. Get ready for the premiere of Reveal TV on the My Church channel, featuring the powerful preaching and teaching ministry of Pastors Kendall and Kiera McDowell. Experience a word that is truly prophetic, anointed, and spirit-filled to change your life. Coming to the My Church channel Sundays at 8 a.m. Experience the dynamic ministry of Reveal TV, coming soon to the My Church channel. Don't miss it.
When we are cultivating an intimacy with God on that level, we are doing more than just receiving mere instruction. We are receiving direction.
You were approved before you ever acted, chosen before you even understood the assignment.
You need to hear this and hear this clearly. You are the most important person in this church.
And if you stay connected, they're going to contaminate your faith. They're going to pull you from the path that I'm trying to take you on.
That scripture tells you exactly how to use the Bible to overcome addiction.
Women in the Bible may have been minimized, but there were a lot of powerful women. I'm certain they poured into others.
And that's why we've got to learn to not despise our seasons, because it's the thing that teaches us how to trust God.
Gratitude melts tension. It softens hearts and opens doors for deeper communication.
People always want to make change more difficult than it is, but every change starts with a choice.
At my church, we help people get better by teaching them how the Word works, and we want to make sure there's no excuse not to get the Word. It's our goal to make all of our ministries accessible on every smartphone, tablet, PC, and television connected to the internet. So whether you're a man who needs some wisdom, a woman who needs some encouragement, or a couple who needs guidance, the My Church channel has just what you need. Simply search for the My Church channel on Roku, Fire Stick, Apple TV, Google TV, and now LG TV, or visit mychurchchannel.org. You can also download the My Church on the Go app from the Apple or Google Play App Store. Constantly on the move, check out the Word at My Church podcast from your favorite podcast platform. Or simply download the Word at My Church skill from your Alexa-enabled device. But whatever you do, make sure you stay connected. See you soon.